Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Shay Norling in on a Friday. He's got that look. I don't know if this is going to go the way most Bears fans think it's going to go with Shay. But it's a Bears Friday. You can't go wrong with a good Bears Friday. How are you, my guy?
Dude, we finally get a chance to talk about real football games. Feels like it's been a decade since we were able to talk about actual games that will occur on the field. No more debates about the quarterback. No more off-season stuff. Like, it's just ball.
I'm so excited.
I'm amped.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we're here. But we're only a toe away, just like the Ravens.
Oh, my God.
We're 3 days in, only poor, a toe away, my guy.
Poor Isaiah Likely. He played so well just to come that short.
You know what? I felt poor Isaiah Likely all until the post-game pressers. There's one bear you
what
don't poke.
What is he doing, dude?
There's one bear you don't poke. Goodness. Yeah, I guarantee he does not play well in that playoff game if they get to a playoff game versus the Chiefs.
The idea you're going to come out after that and talk about, yeah, if that's the best they got, good luck in the postseason, buddy. It's too straight. You just got tagged. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That's not going to work.
The best.
Do not go after the Chiefs.
The best they got, which is my favorite thing about it, because it was like, you mean a really dominant defense that kind of had your quarterback in hell all day? And then an offense that your defense couldn't slow down. Yeah, it's probably the best they got. It's pretty good.
You know what? People are going to make that game about a toe. It's not about a toe for me. When you really break it down, like Lamar, I thought was spectacular.
Play well. Play really well.
Over 300 total yards, 125, whatever it was on the ground, 15 carries. He was
the play calling is questionable to me.
Basically their best running back. Yeah, Todd Monken I thought was terrible. No, but what it's really going to be about at the end is Lamar badly overthrew Likely in the corner of the end zone and almost got him killed falling out of the corner. And then Lamar really boofed a throw to Zay Flowers wide open in the back of the end zone. And I don't care what Lamar wants to tell me after the game that he did. The throw wasn't for Zay Flowers. It was intended for somebody else. Dude, look at the camera angle from behind Lamar Jackson when he throws the football. Zay Flowers is right in front of him, wide open, in the middle of the end zone, and he just missed.
Yeah.
It's okay. You missed.
Yeah. That was one of the worst that I've seen, because it was literally like both plays tie that ball game up.
And it just comes down to that guy's got to be better in clutch moments. Like that, it just seems like every year he plays this incredible game, has this incredible season, last year MVP, and then the clutch moment, the big moment against the Chiefs, your chance to prove – you are better than the best. And he vomited on himself for an entire game.
That was
last tough. Night he was spectacular. And then right at the moment that he needed to be nails, he's not.
Yeah. And it is literally the moment, right? Makes the big pass to get you down there.
Yep.
Puts you in a great position to win this game. Also, again, Todd Monken, I don't know if you know this or not. There's this large giant of a running back that you have on your team when you got down in the red zone.
He's done.
You could have tried to utilize them.
He's toast.
You could have tried to utilize
them. They didn't have a timeout. What are they supposed to do? They can't run the ball with Derrick Henry with no timeouts. And also, Derrick Henry's toast. Toast.
Derrick Henry was a heck of a lead blocker last night. That's all we saw.
They had him on pass blocking.
That's all we saw.
Hey, how about third and one, Justice Hill pitch. Derrick Henry not on the field. That dude's cooked. It's over. And look, 30 years old to make it that far as a running back. Congratulations.
Yeah.
He's just that workload's been too much.
I gotta see more before I say he's cooked. I'm a big King Henry guy, but
can we agree?
It looked bad.
Can we agree? Mark Andrews dropped the rose on the casket. Good night, my friend.
Yes,
I get it. You're only 29, but you've had a million concussions and two bad knees. That's all.
Yeah,
that'll be all for Mark Andrews.
That was probably done last night. When you saw Isaiah Likely just like go out there and do the Lamar, right?
Yeah,
when he did a little stop and lets the guy go past, runs in the end zone. It was like, ooh, it felt nail in the coffin right there.
Yep.
As a shout out to all those people who drafted Mark Andrews high in the fantasy leagues out there.
My week one matchup in one of my leagues, I'm going against somebody with Mark Andrews. That guy is not a happy camper this morning. He is very upset.
The first thing somebody said in our chat this morning was like, anybody want Mark Andrews? I was like, I'll trade you Geno Smith for him.
I got the same
just
text
to see.
I'm like, no, I'm good.
Just to see, you never know. You know you'll get that Mark Andrews game or two. You never know. But hey, The thing is, football's back. We're excited. We get basically four straight days of football. The NFL said, we don't care what else you got going on over your weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to monopolize all of it.
Hope you have Peacock.
I am a subscriber to Xfinity. I think we get it free.
Look at you.
So shout out to Xfinity on that one. If you ever want to
fancy guy over
if
here.
You ever want to tap in and sponsor the pod, we would appreciate that. Cause I do get Peacock free. So I'll be watching it. I'll be tuned in, and I got NFL Plus. So I got a few ways to watch the game.
There you go.
Got a few ways to watch the game, but, football being back, that means the Bears are back this Sunday. That means, like you said, we get to answer all of the questions that we've been waiting and talking about for so long. And my God, never give us a Hall of Fame game again. We did not need that extra week of preseason. It has been so long up at training camp. So the players are sick of training camp. Titans, Bears, this Sunday. Got to preview the game. Got to start off on the offensive side. Okay. Caleb Williams getting his first opportunity to play four quarters. What are you looking for from Caleb Williams in this game? Like, of course, you know, everybody has high expectations. You want to see him, CJ Stroud, this thing, and hit the ground running. But week one, what do you need to see from Caleb Williams?
I would prefer not turning the ball over. Don't go nuts targeting Legarius Sneed, who I imagine is going to catch DJ Moore in most of the formations. I don't need you to go crazy throwing the football. Honestly, here's what I need. And this is going to sound lame. It's like kind of just the soft excuse way to get out of it. Win the game. I don't care how pretty it is. You don't get style points. This isn't college football. You don't need to blow somebody out.
Yeah.
Just go win the game. I don't need to see you throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. If you can do 250 and one, I will be elated if it results in a win. If you can do 250 and two, I'd be over the moon. I'm not asking for the world. Like, I feel like when you get the generational tag and the way Ryan Poles has now said generational, the way that everybody talks about the hype around this team and the offense, the explosive weapons, I feel like people are setting themselves up for a little bit of disappointment if they go out and have a day where it's 350 yards of offense, you score 21 points, and you walk out of there with a kind of narrow victory. I'd be more than happy. This league is designed to be brutal.
Yeah.
And you have a rookie quarterback. Just do what it takes to win. Protect the ball. Play in the structure of the offense. Don't go crazy too much. If you want to let it out of the bag a few times, good. I like seeing it. But let's just get out of here with a clean operation and a win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I love what Ryan Poles said when he talked at the podium. Lean on the tee. You've got these weapons.
Yep.
Use them. That means DeAndre Swift. That means Khalil Herbert. That means Cole Kmet. It doesn't just mean I hope that the Titans DC does come out there and try and press us the entire game, like he said. That would be fun because, I mean, listen, I would love that because you've got two of the top 10 guys against the press. I know everybody in the comments was like, well, Legarius Sneed was one of the best players against the press and so versus the top wide receivers who are good against press. Like, well, he can only cover one guy.
Yeah,
there's a lot of guys to cover on this team. So I would love to see that be the game plan, but you don't have to do too much in this first game. And the bar's not that high early on. The defense, you know what the we need to see more out of the defense than we need to see out of the offense early on. And like, if you're going for Bears rookie records, if you want to compare him to, is he going to be better than the guys you've had before? It's not a high bar.
No, dude.
Like, he throws 130 yards in the first game. He's on pace to break the Bears rookie record after week one.
If he can get to 200 yards in the air and a couple touchdowns, I think everybody in this city should be beyond excited.
Yeah.
Beyond excited. The offense is honestly, like, I expect Caleb Williams to be good. I always have. You and I used to fight about it. I told you, Caleb Williams is the guy. He was always going to be the guy. The wide receivers that you've put around him, I think you've insulated a rookie quarterback as well as any team ever has. The running back room is very talented. The offensive line has gotten better. Like, the offense, I just expect to kind of go out and take care of business. And the biggest thing I need to see, and it's everybody as a unit, it's not just Caleb, no false starts. You're playing at home.
Yeah.
No false starts. No procedural penalties. For the love of fucking God, if I see an illegal procedure on anybody on that line, Like Ronnie Stanley, I get the penalty's dumb, but when you get called for it five times, back up. Like, get on the line.
Yeah.
Make the adjustment and figure it out. So if it gets called once for the Bears, and it probably will because it's this point of emphasis.
This is their point of emphasis to start the season.
Adjust and just squeeze up as far as you have to. Line up, be right, be ready. Don't do stupid stuff. Yeah. Don't make dumb errors. Have it look clean and get out with a win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you think about last season, right? We talked about how prepared we wanted to see the Bears be. We talked about, you know, like they didn't play at all in training camp, really. They didn't play at all in preseason,
really.
That
was all different
this year. And we're sitting there going, okay, well, show us something. And yeah. The season starts on a false start. And every Bears fan in the world was ready to rip Matt Eberflus apart.
Not again.
Everything has been different this season. I've said it. I went into training camp this year going, I am going to be judging Matt Eberflus as harshly as he's ever been judged. Because if you do what you did last year, you didn't learn from your mistakes. It seems like Matt Eberflus has learned from his mistakes through this entire process. Played his players in preseason. Allowed them to get a heck of a lot more work in training camp. I mean, for the most part, like this is – outside of like that first year where guys were basically like, if I don't go hard, I'm not going to be in the NFL anymore. This has been the most we've seen people work at training camp. Like, you've got your team, what it feels like through four preseason games, much more prepared now than they were heading into week four of last season when you're taking on a Broncos team. Like, that to me is a good spot for your team to be in to start now. And it's why I think most Bears fans feel a lot more confident about this Tennessee Titans matchup.
Now, here's where things get tricky. And this is not a message to the Bears or to the team. I think they're doing everything right. I don't think they're listening to all the hype that's out there, even if they're selling some of it themselves. Yeah. I mentioned already, Ryan Poles calling Caleb generational.
Oh, they're selling some
like, of they, it. They are selling the hype. But I think if you go in that locker room, it's not – nobody's like, oh, Titans, whatever, they're a layup. No, I think they're going to take this seriously. This is my advice to Bears fans. The confidence that you have, I'm happy for you. I feel very good for you. This is the best team that this organization's had in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's the most positive feeling long-term situation probably since the 80s. Like, this is an outstanding place to be. Number one pick quarterback who's built generational. You've got 5 years of rookie control, the wide receivers you've put around him, the faith in the general manager. Like, they're just, the vibes haven't been this good about a team in a very long time. But now it's about week one, and it's test your mettle situation. And I think a lot of Bears fans have spent this offseason, since the schedule came out in May, looking at this and talking about, oh, Titans week one, we got a layup, bad team, bad quarterback, Will Levis, they're kind of in a tank situation. Stop. No, stop. They aren't. No. They are much more similar to Tampa Bay a year ago than they are to New England right now. This Tennessee team spent all offseason hearing from national media how ugly they are, how they aren't attractive enough to pick up a date at the bar. Problem is, they weren't listening. They went out, traded assets to get L'Jarius Sneed. They went out and signed Tony Pollard, who might not be great anymore, but still a decent running back, productive. Whatever you want to say about fantasy Tony Pollard, I don't care. He's a running back on the field in the National Football League. He can be productive in spurts. Tyjae Spears, who they drafted, it'll be a rotational room. They also signed Calvin Ridley, helps a young quarterback with a surefire target on the outside. The wide receiver room is far from terrible. By the way, how about two tackles and Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham, who are both maulers. And then the defense. Go and add on the defensive line. Add in your linebacker room. I already mentioned L'Jarius Sneed. They don't buy what everybody nationally is selling, that they suck. It's a lot like Tampa last year. Tampa a year ago, everybody's telling them, you're done. Brady left you. It's over. Problem is, they went out, signed a bunch of pieces. They didn't behave like a team that thought they stunk. They won their division. Be very careful just walking into this game on Sunday. I'm not telling you should be scared. You're a grown man with a mortgage, a wife, kids, a life. It's not all about football. Don't be scared your team might lose. I want to make sure I get the message out to Bears fans. You don't walk into this going, we're going to freight train them. That ain't the NFL.
No, I agree with you 100%. I've said the same thing about the Titans because I think that people overlook the Titans have kind of done. I don't think the talent is the same level, but they've kind of done for Will Levis what Ryan Poles has done for Caleb Williams. Let's go get him D-Hop. Now D-Hop dealing with what he said was an MCL tear. So he's been working through that. He was limited at practice. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but MCL tear doesn't sound like you're going to play,
right,
but we'll see. You got D-Hop in the building. You got Tyler Boyd. You've got Calvin Ridley. You've got Tony Pollard. Like, there's weapons for Will Levis to go to. There's an offensive line in front of Will Levis. I love the fact that we sit here and we go, we're going to get after Will Levis. We're going to put pressure on him and we're going to make him scared. We couldn't do that last season for Joe Flacco. We remember that, right? Like, yeah, we had Montez Sweat on the team.
300-plus passing yards, game you needed to win.
We couldn't do that last year for Joe Flacco. Now, at that game, I don't believe Jalen Johnson played. Tyreek Stevenson had a tough game that game as well. There were some injuries there, but, like, you have to – if you give quarterbacks in this league time to process, they can kill you. It doesn't matter who the QB is. Well, I shouldn't say that. Like, Mitch might not kill you. But for the most part, with most of these quarterbacks, if they're given time, they will process what's being seen. Your DBs can only cover for so long, and somebody will get open, and Will Levis is talented enough to find an open man in the middle of the field. That's where it gets dangerous.
I won't sell to anybody Will Levis is some stud.
Like, no,
I'm
not
telling
at all.
He's a top 15 QB, but if you ask scouts, he's got the strongest arm in the NFL. So do not get burned, because he'll hit guys deep. And he has the ability to rip it over the middle of the field if there's guys open. And, like, just honestly, the other thing, too, they remind me in process and maybe not in result very much of what Poles and the Bears tried to do for Fields last year.
Yeah.
In that you're going out and acquiring pieces to make the football team better and really to give yourself a fair evaluation of what you have in Will Levis.
Yeah.
Will Levis might be terrible. Will Levis might be really good. Nobody has the answer. I don't have a crystal ball. But that is the process that they're going with. And last year's Bears were a pain in the fucking ass to play against. They were one of those annoying teams that you knew on a Sunday, we're going to give you hell. Ask Detroit. Ask Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ask Denver. Ask, like, and a lot of those games ended with bad results. But the process to get there was, damn, this team is pesky. And I think the Titans are in that same kind of vein.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not telling you I think the Bears are going to lose. I don't. I think they win this game. But when I look at the point spread, 4.5 points, now down to 3.5, I'm sorry. What have you done to earn laying north of a field goal with a rookie quarterback making his debut against anybody?
You're at just, home. It's the defense. It's 100% the defense.
I'd just be very careful. That's the NFL is not built on blowouts. It's built on field goals.
100%. No, I think what it is, too, and it has to show up. It's the one – listen, the offense, not to say I'm willing to sit here and say that you shouldn't be productive, but we can give time to the offense. You can have a 250 passing yard day, 80 yards on the ground, and go, all right, not the best day, not the worst day. The defense, there's no time. The defense, you got to hit the ground running. You have to get after it. Jervon Dexter, I need to see you being the three technique of the future, because that's what you are being billed at. I need to see you pushing the pocket, forcing the center into Will Levis's lap so he has to choose whether he's going to the left for either Austin Booker or maybe DeMarcus Walker if he actually ends up playing in the game. He's on the injury report is limited right now with a groin. Or he's running into the lap of Montez Sweat, who, by the way, is an absolute dog on the other side. He's your best. I don't care what anyone says. Bill, any other player on that defense, you can have your favorite. He's the best player on the defense right now. He's going to put pressure on Will Levis. He's going to get to the quarterback. But it helps if he's not getting double teamed and chipped off the edge. Because guess what? Khalil Mack is still really freaking good. But he's a lot better on the Chargers because he's got a Bosa on the other side of him.
Yeah,
there was no Bosa on the other side of him here. And so we spent weeks going, well, Khalil Mack really didn't show up here. Yeah, it's hard to play football when you're getting triple teamed on one side. Montez Sweat is going to get after it, but you need Jervon Dexter to hit the ground running. You need Tyreek Stevenson may be the second most important player on the field outside of Caleb Williams, because Jalen Johnson is going to be on one side. He's going to be guarding either Tyler Boyd or D-Hop, depending on who plays. And they're going to go, nope, we're looking at you all game, because you gave up 9 touchdowns last season. Great second half of the year, but 9 touchdowns, a lot of touchdowns. Let's see if you can replicate what you did at the second half of the season to start this season here.
yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of those guys. Like, most of my questions, and it's funny because we talk about the expectations for the offense and what they built and what we want them to look like and what we want to see. On the offense, my biggest question is going to be the offensive line. And it's kind of the same deal on defense. Like, if I've got one question left on this Bears team that I need answered week one, week two, week three, it is, what do your trenches look like? It's the only spot on the field where I think you still have holes. So I don't want to see Caleb getting sped up in situations where he doesn't need to be, because somebody on that line, whoever it is allowing pressures or hurries or whatever. And similarly, it can't be Montez Sweat and nobody and just hoping for coverage sacks. But that is, to your point, where Tyreek Stevenson and guys like Terrell Smith become really important in needing to cover, because Jalen Johnson, you know, will do his job. Jaquan Brisker's got to show us a little more. Kyler Gordon's got to show us a little more. It's on everybody else to pick up the slack. This defense is really good. You have elite players, two of them on it, Jalen and Montez Sweat. Other guys have to be complimentary. And that's really, if this defense is going to continue to be top 10, that's what has to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you got three to four pieces in my mind. My biggest question is the depth right now, right? If you lose one of these guys during the game, if you lose one, like, you're quickly at Austin Booker, guys. Like, I love Austin Booker.
Hey, that might not be a bad thing.
I love Austin Booker.
I love Austin Booker.
Me and you were probably the only two people in the world that were like, you're drafting a punter over Austin Booker? What are we doing? I was pissed. And then they go back and get him. I was like, all right, here we go. All right, yeah. I'm back in. But to me, like, that's not a position you want to put the rookie in. The best spot that you have him in right now is you've got DeMarcus Walker ahead of him. You've got Montez Sweat ahead of him. He can figure it out. He can learn as time goes on. You don't want to put him in a spot where it's back against the wall. Now, I think he can thrive in it. I think he's that kind of player. But you don't want to put that guy in that spot where it's back up against the wall, figure out how to play, or we lose this game because we're not getting pressure.
Now, what's interesting, DeMarcus Walker popped up on the injury report yesterday already.
Yeah.
So we may see a lot of Austin Booker, which honestly, dude, I'm excited about because I love him as a player. Yes. And I think he can be a difference maker opposite Montez Sweat. I don't care that he was drafted in the fifth round. I watched him at Kansas. I watched him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You know who he was lined up against at the Senior Bowl? Jordan Morgan, who the Packers selected in the first round to be their offensive tackle of the future. You know who was getting absolutely bullied by Austin Booker at the Senior Bowl?
Jordan Morgan.
Jordan Morgan. Yes, he was on his back, pancaked by, like, I really like Austin Booker. I hope we see a lot of him.
He's such a natural player.
He gets it.
And it's so crazy because to me, Austin Booker is like a bumblebee. It doesn't make sense. Like how bumblebees shouldn't be able to fly. Austin Booker is 240 pounds, maybe. All right. Like, I think 240 is you getting that combine stretch. He's 6 feet tall. He's all legs. Like, nothing about him makes sense. And then you watch him play, and he's not just maneuvering around guys, right? Like, I think Chase Young's skill set, he has the power, but a lot of it is his speed.
Yeah.
Austin Booker's going through large men, like pushing them out of the way to get to the spot he wants to get to, in a way that we saw Khalil Mack do, in a way that we see Montez Sweat do with the long arm. And these are natural moves for him. I remember we talked to Thayer on the Bears podcast about this, and he was like, that spin move that he has, like, no one's ever taught him that. He just, like, learned it one day and realized it works for him. The long arm that he has, nobody sat there and was like, this is a move that you should do. He just naturally has that. Now he can get his game refined. Like, I hope we see a ton of Austin Booker, especially with the youth you have at the tackle position on the Titans.
And what it tells me, too, is it's a guy who watches a ton of football, studies a ton of football, figures out how to do things on his own. And, like, Montez Sweat, I think, was the one who said the other day, he's beyond where a rookie should be.
Yeah.
He's adding moves to his arsenal. Because, look, you can maul guys in the preseason. You're going up against threes. You can run right through them. That's great. But when you're playing against ones, which will happen on Sunday if he gets in the game, you got to have more. And Montez Sweat was saying he's already adding to the arsenal. He's got a variation of pass rush moves. I'm excited to watch him. And, like, nobody wants to be happy that any player is on the injury report. DeMarcus Walker being on the injury report obviously is not great for the Bears. But it is an opportunity, and I think Austin Booker's poised to take it.
I think what sucks more about D-Walk being on the injury report is your lack of depth at defensive tackle. He can play that inside and outside position.
Yeah.
And that to me is what sucks more. Because I think, to me, Austin Booker was poised to try. Like, when you go out and you're trying to get Matthew Judon, when you go out and you're scouring the NFL for that other edge rusher that can be a cheap edge rusher, when you're looking, right, they have remained in contact with Yannick Ngakoue, which I don't know where he's going to end up at this point, but like, or if he's going to play the league this year. Like, I have no idea or answers on any of this. But you were keeping in contact with Yannick Ngakoue. That tells you that you feel you had a problem over there. So I think Austin Booker was going to get opportunity to try and win that job anyway as the season went on. Where the Bears are hurt on Sunday defensively, though, is you saw a step forward from Jervon Dexter. You didn't see that step from Zach Pickens. And no, now Zach Pickens is hurt. Zach Pickens was getting manhandled by backup centers in the Hall of Fame game. Number three centers in the Hall of Fame game, right? Like, Zach Pickens did not have a good training camp. He did not have a good preseason. You didn't see that step you wanted to see from him. I wanted to see more from him because I was like, okay, Jervon's two, you're three. You're supposed to be an impact player in this league, and we're not seeing that. That you lose that depth at that defensive tackle room on the inside, and I think that's what hurts the Bears most on Sunday with if DeMarcus Walker isn't able to go.
Yeah, and again, it's kind of the reason that, like, I don't buy the interior of the defensive line as being some great unit, and it's kind of the reason I really think this is going to be a very close, very competitive try to escape with a win.
Yeah.
Not necessarily we're going to cover a spread and put a big number on somebody. No, I think it's going to be a tight game because, look, I mentioned Tennessee's offensive line is really good.
Yeah.
With two really good tackles, a good interior. They want to run the ball. They have a two-headed monster in the running back room, Tony Pollard, Tyjae Spears. That's the way they're going to approach this. And then when opportunity comes, they'll hit you with play action with Will Levis and let him bomb it.
Yeah.
And I think you put yourself in kind of an iffy situation matchup-wise because your defensive line depth is rough. But if Jervon Dexter can keep showing us something, and if Austin Booker in certain opportunities can step up and Montez Sweat can be Montez Sweat, you'll get out of this easy.
Oh, yeah. I think here's the thing, too. When you look at what it comes down to, Matt Eberflus, you can't do what you did last year. Again, this is another – like, I love what I've seen through training camp. I love what I saw in the preseason.
Now, is this your number one thing that you need to see is, like, Matt Eberflus can't blow games late?
Well, not even that. You got to be able to adjust. We spent a half a season going, we can't get pressure with four, and he won't send a blitz.
That's going to be different. Like, if the preseason's any indication, they're going to blitz their ass
off. And that's what my hope is. Be able to – I know you want to get pressure with four. This is your one. I would love to see you get pressure with four because if you get pressure with four, that's when this defense is at its best. But if you can't get pressure with four, I don't need to see three-quarters of you not getting pressure with four and then you blitz in the fourth quarter. Make the adjustments quicker. Make the adjustments on the fly. I need to see that from both coaching staffs because even on the other side with Shane Waldron was a guy that was very committed to just keeping that ball in the air, whether it was ugly or not. Sometimes you got to put it on the ground. I just want to see this Bears team make those adjustments quicker this season. Last season, it's not even like it was slow in a game. It was slow for a half a season, and all of a sudden it took the players going, yeah, we'd love to blitz more.
Well, To that point, rather, it's like later in the year, Eberflus did start blitzing a lot.
Yeah.
And once this defense got good, part of that was a result of they sent pressure way more often and had a ton of success on it.
Yeah.
Preseason looked no different. They blitzed a ton as a unit in those games. I don't imagine that just because Eric Washington was calling plays preseason, that's going to disappear with Matt Eberflus calling plays in the regular season. No, I think they're going to blitz a lot. And if they don't, I'd be surprised, and frankly, I'd be nervous because I think sending pressure in the right times, in the right spots, from the right places is the key to this defense being top 10 again.
Yeah, and sending pressure, here's the thing. This is the best time for you to send pressure. It feels like the field is covered. Like, who are you going to throw on? In the belief is that maybe you could throw on Tyree Stevenson. Tyree Stevenson finished out
really
the second half of that season as one of the best DBs in the
really
league.
Well.
Kyler Gordon in the slot is really good, and he will light you up if you throw a football down there. TJ Edwards has got the field covered, right? Yep. Like, this feels like the team that you can say, we can blitz more because everything's going to be covered, and if we get pressure on the quarterback, we saw this last year. Maybe he's grown tremendously from this. You put pressure on Will Levis, he will give you the football.
Yeah, he'll make mistakes. And you didn't even mention Jaquan Brisker, who I think is quietly becoming one of the best in-the-box safeties in the league.
100%.
So the whole unit, like as a backfield on the defensive side, I have no issue saying I'm totally faithful in them to get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's where if I'm Eberflus and if I'm the Bears, I want to blitz. Even if I'm simulating pressures, just get in Will Levis's face mask and make him make mistakes.
No, 100%. That's where I'm at with it. And I'll say this. You talked about the one thing that I need to see from Flus. Don't be just good enough. That's why we lost so many games last season. We played Detroit. We're up 31-10.
Yeah, it
was going into that fourth quarter.
The Denver game was the horrible.
The Denver game as well, 28-3 going into that. Like, you're dominating, and then you go, all right, we're not going to do it. Like, we can not like Justin Fields. We could feel that he didn't get the job done at the end of the game. Justin Fields in that Detroit game in the second half threw one pass. You said we're taking the foot off the gas. Run the football, run the clock out. Well, you didn't run the clock out.
Do you take anything out of the I was reading this the other day. This kind of thought process that apparently Eberflus had no faith in Justin Fields in those situations to make a positive play. He was too concerned about Fields either turning the ball over or taking a bad sack, screwing up the situation. Because I thought about that Detroit game when I read it and the fact that he wasn't used in the passing game at all in the second half. And I just wonder a little bit if that was the fear settling in for Eberflus.
It
feels like they don't have that anymore, where it's like, look, we've done a good job. We've gotten out to a big lead. Do not fuck this up.
Yeah.
You cannot make the mistake that causes this to go sideways. So they play it too safe. I don't think that's going to be a problem. They all trust Caleb.
Yeah. I think that there is a case to be made on that 100%, because when you watch how they went about the second half of the season, the second half of games, when the Bears were up, they literally were just like, just packing it every time.
Yeah.
It was like throw the football. Like, why are we? But I think.
No, and it felt like turtling, but now it feels more like they were way too scared the quarterback was going to make a bad decision and send this thing.
And I think that, you know, as much as we can dislike Justin, and we don't have to rehash any of that conversation because we're in a much better place now, but like, that kills a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
That will destroy a quarterback.
I'm not making the point that it was the right thing to do. Yeah. I'm just making the point. That's what they were doing.
100%. And I think that the whole season I was just like, what are you scared of? Are you scared of scoring too many points? Are you scared of like this massive turnover when you're up in huge moments, which then you put them in a position? And I think that's why I say this season you can't do it scared, because what you do is with Caleb Williams, you will put Caleb Williams in Superman positions. And maybe he is Superman. I hope he's Superman. I hope that he can be Tom Brady with 2 minutes to go. I hope that he's Aaron Rodgers with 30 seconds on the clock and everyone on the other sideline goes, we left him 30 seconds. Like you remember those moments where it would be like coaches would be actively going, don't score a touchdown. Because if you score a touchdown, we're only up 4 and you give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with a minute. Yep. You have to go down at the 1. Like, I remember those moments vividly, and then Aaron Rodgers would go down, and he'd rip your heart out. I hope that Caleb is that guy. But at the end of the day, that's not the position you want to put your players in, offensive or defensive. And Flus did that probably 6 games last season.
And, I mean, the problem is you can't cause those situations. So if you go up big on Tennessee, and I don't think that you will, but if you do, just Sunday goes like a dream, and you're up 21-0, leave your foot on the gas, because you get very few opportunities to blow people out. I think Cole Kmet just said it. There might be 2-3 games a year where you just run somebody off the field.
Yeah.
The rest of them, you're going to be playing within about 3 points. That's just the league. Like, that's you bring up Aaron Rodgers back in the day. Don't score because he's got too much time. But I got bad news. That's the NFL. That was last night, and it was Chiefs and Ravens that – at the end of the game, you give Lamar a minute and 48 seconds. He's going to work his way down the field. Didn't finish the drive. That's just what the NFL is. And as much as you're saying, I hope Caleb Williams is that guy, I will say Caleb Williams is that guy.
Yeah.
There's going to be 6 or 7 of those guys in the league at any given moment. Like right now, you could argue Jared Goff is one of those guys. Jordan Love is one of those guys. Like, it's not just Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes Allen and whoever. There's a group of guys who you're like, okay, if they get the ball and there's a minute and a half left, we got a shot. Caleb's going to be one of them. He will. and you're going to be in those situations. It just, it can't be a result of the head coach that you are.
Yeah.
If you're up 21-0 in a game, you can't let it get to 21-17 and needing them, or God forbid you blow it fully, 21-24, and you need the moment.
Yeah.
You just got to blow them out when you get there.
That's the thing, and I think that's the one part with defensive coaches that kind of sucks. They rely on their defense. And it's not to say you shouldn't. I think the Bears have a defense you can do that with. But they will go, if it gets to 21-17, we're still good. Guess what? Last season, you weren't good.
Yeah.
When it got to 31-27, and all of a sudden you're like, we got to get a stop here, boys. You weren't good. Tremaine Edmonds is trying to make a tackle. He's falling the wrong way, and the drive continues. Like,
and honestly, like, I don't care how good your defense is. Kansas City, great example. Last night, the Chiefs' defense, one of the best in football. But when you start getting in the range of 65, 70, 75 snaps,
yeah,
I don't care how good you are. The end of that game, they were gassed. 100%. They were gassed to the point that Andy Reid's taking a timeout to stop things and get guys some water, hydrate them, get them a break. If you're out big, like 10-point lead for Kansas City and their offense comes off the field, they don't score, got some questions about what went down on those drives. Yeah. Defense comes back on the field and they are out of gas and struggling. It's just a bad position to put the team in.
Yeah. And to me, that goes like Andy Reid last night. I would almost say he, and you can rarely say this about Andy Reid, but that he almost put the team in a bad position because of his unwillingness to hand the football off almost at all.
Well, and I thought one thing.
You got to eat some clock, dog.
One thing he did that was horrible was punt from the 40-yard line late in the game.
Yeah.
Giving the ball back to Baltimore. It ended up as a touchback. They get the ball in the 20. I thought that was a terrible decision. And it's, look, that's Andy Reid. He's the best coach in football.
100%.
John Harbaugh made some horrendous decisions last night. He does every year. He's one of the best coaches in football.
100%.
These guys are going to make bad decisions. It's just Eberflus made some last year that were historic loss bad.
They all felt fearful. I think you bringing up that article was great. They all felt fear.
You can't be afraid.
Yeah.
You've got a quarterback, man, and you have an opportunity with this team to win the ball on offense, to win the game on offense, get the critical first down, run the clock out, choke somebody out. Not everything's got to be done defensively. You got to take advantage of the quarterback that you have and the offense that you have and win games on that side of the ball.
Yeah. I literally got the last season. I was like, he knows it's okay to win, like, 41-10, right? Like, do we know? Well, that? And are we okay with that? Like, do we?
I don't know that that's fair because I don't know that they could last year. Like, I don't think they were good enough to do that.
There were so many, and I'm not saying like every game is going to be 41-10, right? But there were games where the Bears were literally railroading a team, and the team was shell shocked. Was the Cleveland game, the What's Up Yours game? I think it was the What's Up Yours game for the second half. And in the second half, you're like, no, because we won the game.
That was Washington, I think.
Game.
Yeah, I think that was Washington.
And we're sitting there going, well, what was up yours?
Like, yeah, you didn't run anything.
You didn't have anything up yours. Like, we needed to see something.
I got some tricks up my sleeve.
That was
the halftime line. I got some tricks up my sleeve. And then cutscene, no tricks. Eberflus, where were the tricks? What's up yours?
What's up yours? All right, yeah. Moose. All right,
but it was cool. They won the game.
They won that game. But, like, you can't live like that. When you live like that, I think we saw Philly live like that 100%. Last season.
Too much pressure on the defense is not a good thing, no matter how good your defense is.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, if you're the 85 Bears, all right, put all the pressure in the world on them. You got to show them you're the 85 Bears first.
Yeah.
Get to be the 2018 Bears first.
Maybe if you had an offense, you would have won an 86.
That was an unfair shot right there.
I'm just making the point. Teams that are built defense first, Seattle only won one. Like, teams that are built on defense, it's hard to make a dynasty. There's a reason the Patriots were built through the quarterback and built the dynasty. There's a reason the Chiefs are the dynasty now. It's offense first.
Can we count Seattle winning one, only winning one, though, not on Pete Carroll, though? I love, have you seen this now? Nobody takes the blame for calling the pass. None of the coaches say they called a pass. So either Russell Wilson said, I'm passing the football on this final play, and I'm going to turn myself into a god, or somebody's lying.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. They're all lying. This is classic. I'm Spartacus. Like, they're all – they either all take responsibility or nobody does. But I got to tell you, if you had the chance to either take responsibility for something and admit you're a complete dumbass.
Yeah.
Or everybody band together and nobody admit who did it. It's option two.
I love that we've gotten to the point where like Beast Mode like is more open about it now. And he's just like, bro, who made the decision? Who made the call? Like, I need to know now. That's such a great thing to me. Before we get out of here, Shay, hit that like button, subscribe to the page. By the way, lead a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. I don't know if you saw this, but you being somebody who has been very high on Caleb Williams the entire time, I think the only issue you had with Caleb Williams was his head coach in college, basically Lincoln Riley babying him the entire time. What you saw in preseason, were you impressed by this young man?
Yeah, definitely. And I thought Belichick was being a little unfair.
That's where I was going. Bill Belichick, who is...
Well, he was 10 or 20.
Greatest coach of all time. Are we throwing him out? Greatest coach?
What did he have? 4 drops?
He had 4 drops in the first game.
Okay, so you were 14 or 20 passing. I think that's accurate enough. And the highlight plays, like Belichick, all the highlights, they weren't that good, buddy. If Brady ever did any of the shit that Caleb was doing, you would have had a stroke. Like, and that's not a shot at Tom Brady. It's just Tom couldn't roll out to his left and juke out a defender and then launch it 60 yards downfield to Roma Dunze on the run. It just wasn't happening.
That's exactly where I was going. I saw Belichick this morning. I'm like, I wonder if he's literally doing this because Caleb is gotten, it seems, very close with Tom Brady. And he's like, I can't praise anything this guy's got going on right now.
I don't know why Belichick does anything he does. I don't know why he drafted Mac Jones. I don't know why he watched Mac Jones almost win a Rookie of the Year and then hired a defensive coordinator who was bad to be his offensive coordinator for God knows what reason. I don't know why last year he traded up in the draft for a kicker who this offseason was cut. I don't know why he does a lot of what he does. Maybe he was just bad at his job at the end. And maybe he's not a great personnel evaluator. If you don't believe me, check his draft classes. Maybe he wasn't great at this, and he's not the voice we really need to care about when it comes to evaluating Caleb Williams. I think we're good.
I feel like Belichick has been the guy who's turned the high-round picks have been terrible. He's been Ryan Pace with the top-level draft picks. Okay,
but did he turn Julian Edelman into something, or did Tom Brady turn Julian Edelman into something?
I would agree with you, but you got to go find Julian. You gotta see something in Julian to put him with Brady.
It's the 7th round. They were picking a Mac quarterback out of Kent State. It was a throwaway pick, and Brady goes, I like this cat. He's squirrely. Super Bowl MVP loading.
I'm not gonna lie to you. That's a great definition of a lot of the guys that turned into something there. It's
white guy, little squirrely. White and squirrely. Yeah. You know what they never did? They never drafted Xavier Worthy. How's that going for the Chiefs? I rest my case.
Dude,
Brady was begging for first round receivers. I'm just making the point. I don't need to hear from Belichick on Caleb Williams.
Bro, if we live in a world where the Bills, I said this on the breeze this morning, the Bills are like the rabbit that gets the gun and then goes, nah, this ain't for me. You need to have this so that you can kill me later. If Xavier Worthy becomes a great wide receiver and is the reason that the Bills don't win in the playoffs again.
Do you understand? It's not just Xavier Worthy. The Bills are responsible for giving Kansas City the draft picks that became Xavier Worthy and Patrick Mahomes. Everybody in the NFL should look, just stare at Buffalo and never stop staring at them. They've ruined the league. You know what they are? And this is for the real.
They've ruined the league.
This is for the real nerds out there. They're the guy in your dynasty fantasy league that every offseason is trading like a number one wide receiver for a future third round pick, and everybody's ripping their fucking hair out.
Yeah.
Get out of the league.
Yes.
That's what the Bills are. They gave the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes and now Xavier Worthy. Great.
I've always said this.
You've killed football.
I've always said this. I can live with Pat Mahomes because nobody was on Pat Mahomes except the Chiefs. I can live with that. With the Bears, the pick I can't live with is not Patrick Mahomes. It's Deshaun Watson. That was a layup. Now, as time is going on, right, it's not that bad. That'd be a weird situation to be in now.
You're still planting your flag there.
Well, I'm not planting my flag on anything with Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you that. Deshaun Watson. Flag planting is what's gotten him into this problem here.
I was going to make the same joke.
But at the end of the day, you saw one of those guys go out there and be one of the best quarterbacks in football, and you went, Mitch Trubisky. That's the guy I need. I can live with Deshaun or with Pat Mahomes for most moves that were made. It looks bad on the Bills, though. You watched these guys turn a guy who nobody thought was going to be amazing in Tyreek Hill into what is now one of the best wide receivers in football. And then you said, knowing full well, they're probably going to go get the fastest guy in the draft because he's fallen further than people expected. They're probably going to get the guy who's got really good hands, who's good off of the line, who can replicate some of what Tyreek Hill did. Because you know what we didn't have for the last two seasons? Speed off of the line. They're probably going to go get this guy. But, man, we could use those picks.
Yeah, damn. Boy, they could get Xavier Worthy, but we could get Keon Coleman. Let's check in on Bills camp. Drop pass, drop pass, drop pass. They've ruined the league. The Bills have ruined the league. And you know what? I think the Bills are going to be good this year, but I do too. They've ruined the league.
I think that they gave the Chiefs a three-peat, though.
Yeah.
after last, and he didn't even get a ton of targets.
They're the team that every other owner in the NFL is looking at like, dude, you got to get your head together. You got to start acting.
They ruined all the sympathy that the 90s Bills had for like losing so many Super Bowls in a row. They ruined it.
Yep.
It was like, I feel bad about it. And now it's like, I don't. Maybe this is just who the Bills are. They're supposed to screw things up and fall short. appreciate y'all tuning in. Hit the like button. Subscribe to the page. We got Friday football tonight. Before we get out of here, one, what is your pick for tonight's game? And two, what's your final score for the Bears game?
Eagles laying two tonight. I like the Birds. Packers, I'm not as high on as everybody else. This is a weird neutral site, funky kind of game. I'll go with the Eagles.
Not going to get any tweets out of Brazil either.
Final score for Bears, 2017 win.
Okay. Low scoring game, dog fight. I like it.
Yeah, it's going to be
kind of. I'm kind of right there. I think I had mine 24-21. So same area.
In the same range.
You had a 21. You had three touchdowns. I think Swift ends up with two of them passing, one rushing. I think you get one to DJ Moore after everything on Hard Knocks, and I think you get a field goal out of it. Cairo Santos, give me a 48 yarder. I still don't trust him anything over 50. It's just me personally.
Maybe they don't either.
we saw a lot of weird punts last year too.
we gonna get a Caleb Hail Mary from the 41 yard line?
No, we're gonna get freaking. That's why they drafted Torrey Taylor in the fourth round.
Oh, yeah,
anything over 50?
Oh my god!
Anything over 50? We got a punt.
Okay, I just gotta tell you, and then we'll get out of here. But I gotta if I see. The Bears punt with Torrey Taylor in some coffin corner situation from plus territory. My television will be lucky if it survives. That's all I got. My television will be lucky if my cell phone is not sticking out of it.
You're going to finish the game out on the tablet.
Yeah, dude, I'd be so angry. Don't do it.
Torrey Taylor from the Bears own 48.
like him all you want, but if you like, Bears sitting on the Titans 45. Here comes Torrey Taylor. A bullet is going through my TV. Don't do it. Don't. Please, him all you want, Bears. But keep those punts from the 35 where you can let him show off the boomstick or whatever.
But the what? Excuse me?
His leg, man. His leg.
Oh, I didn't know.
One of his two, not three.
Okay.
Leg.
They have that down under. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Shay Norling, appreciate you coming through on a Friday. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. It's your boy, Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Fred Doc, one love. Peace.